Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Iron Jedi 777 podcast. Sorry I haven't done one. I'm trying to think of the right wording there. Sooner, or I took so long to do this episode. I would have done it sooner, but I'm pretty sure I did an IPWL episode when I was planning on doing it, and I didn't want to do two video / recordings in one night because I was a bit tired that night. So then last night it was just when I take the night off, so or past two nights, however long it's been. I just wanted to take the night off, so just needed a little bit of a break. You guys have been great and all that stuff. Just wanted to kind of lay low, if that makes any sense. So, a lot of wrestling this week for this episode, because obviously you have SummerSlam this past Sunday, so a lot with that. Plus you have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, so. So, yeah, I guess just get right into it. Hello and welcome to the wrestling part of this section. Buckle up, because it's going to be, I'm going to try to do minimal as possible, but no promises. So, starting off with NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4. Started off with, in my opinion, the match of the night. Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly representing the Undisputed Era from Mustache Mountain. Great match. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong have just been doing great as champs, in my opinion. Their feud with Mustache Mountain, their match against Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. Great matches. And on to the next match, EC3 versus Velveteen Dream. I'd say the worst match of the night. It wasn't that good. The ending was good, but other than that, didn't really have that much going on. Match ended with Velveteen Dream doing a Purple Rainmaker, which is like a cartwheel and a Death Valley driver. Then he hit on the apron. Then Velveteen got up to the top rope, hit an elbow drop, 1, 2, 3. I don't know. It's one of those matches where people would be saying, you know, the other person should have won, you know. So, anyway. On to the next match. Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler. Definitely one of the best women's matches in NXT. It was a great match. I did like the finish. It was the right call. You know, you saw Baszler looking strong, and you have Kairi Sane as the champ. So, again, one of the, I'd say, it would definitely be somebody's match of the night. It was one of the top contenders. That, the main event, and the tag match, arguably Ricochet Adam Cole. It was a good match, don't get me wrong. But, I don't know, and like my match of the night contenders, it won't be in there. I think it could have been better, but Ricochet just did too much aerial offense for me in that match. Like, he overdid it, in my opinion, and that ruined the match a little bit for me. Another thing, with the finish, Ricochet did that 630 senton. I don't like how Adam Cole didn't at least attempt to grab the rope, because I don't know, it just makes him look a little on the dumb side by not doing that. I mean, had Shayna Baszler do it, and you didn't have Adam Cole do it, you know, both champs. So, if you don't really know about, like, the backstage stuff for wrestling, and you watch that match, you're like, well, why didn't he grab the ropes as well? You know, just makes, look, it makes Adam Cole look, again, a little bit on the dumber side, you know, but again, planned finish, so. Anyway, on to the next match, main event, Gargano Ciampa 4, counting the Cruiserweight Classic match, third in the rivalry, but their fourth match overall in WWE. They've overdone it. They really have. It was still a good match, but I mean, it's nothing we really haven't seen before. So, apparently, Gargano got injured, according to Triple H, at least. Pretty sure that's what he said. So, hopefully Gargano gets better. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that was a good finish to the match. But, yeah, it's not really anything we've seen before. And it's just, they've been doing this feud for how long, you know? Of course, Daniel Bryan and The Miz, you know, that's been going on for quite a while. But there was breaks in between, where Gargano and Ciampa didn't really have those breaks in between other than injury, you know? And, again, they've just overdone it at this point. Anyway, on to SummerSlam, kickoff show, Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega beat Rusev and Lana. I guess, yeah, they're trying to build up Andrade. That was the right decision, especially with the roll-up, because, again, it's the point that I made earlier with Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler. I mean, they still look pretty strong. They were beaten, but they didn't. No, I'm sorry, I messed that up. They lost the match, but they weren't really beaten. It wasn't a clean win, so they weren't really beaten to lose the match. And that could be said with all the matches on the pre-show. Overall, pretty good, I'd say. It wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a bad match. So, on to B-Team versus The Revival. I'd say about an average match. Again, Revival weren't really beaten. They lost the match. Hopefully they get another title shot, because they're arguably one of the best teams on Raw right now. One of, if not the best. I mean, there's no doubt they're one of the best teams on Raw, if not WWE, if they were booked right. Well, I think they would have been booked right, but the injuries, it's kind of like what happened to Finn Balor. So, more on him later on. So, with this match at SummerSlam. Anyway, so, yeah, hopefully Revival get another shot, because, I mean, they're definitely one of the best teams, if not on Raw, if not WWE right now, so. Anyway, on to, was this the, or did I get them mixed up with the, anyway, last match I'm going to talk about on the kickoff show. Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak. I know the feud's not over, so. Oh, excuse me. Hopefully at the end Gulak gets the win. I think he should have won here, because or he should win the title soon, because Cedric's starting to run out of heels, like top heels on 205 Live, so sooner or later, Gulak probably is going to win the title. But, you know, at SummerSlam they had a pretty good match, I'd say. I don't know. So, on to the main card. It's the opening match, Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. Definitely a contender for match of the night. Good match, you know. I liked how they involved Dean and McIntyre a little bit, but they didn't go overboard with it. Especially with Ambrose returning. I was thinking they were going to go a bit overboard with it. But I think it was just the right amount of involvement. You know, the spotlight was mainly on Rollins and Ziggler. But they did have a little bit of Ambrose and McIntyre involvement, which was to be expected. And you know, I think, you know, they did just enough of it. And Rollins and Ziggler, I messed that up a little bit with the pauses. So, anyway. So, Rollins and Ziggler are definitely some of the best workers in WWE right now. So, obviously, they're going to put on a good match. And Rollins won the match. I think that was the right decision. Hopefully, Rollins and Ambrose feud for the title. I think it would make the feud feel a little bit bigger. And I don't think at this point, Ambrose just looks and is really acting like a heel right now. So, I don't think there's really any doubt that he's going to turn. It's just more, I think it's less of a matter of if and more of a matter of when it's going to happen. So, anyway. Let's see, next match. I'm just going to go in the order of matches I remember. SmackDown Tag Titles, Bludgeon Brothers versus Bludgeon Brothers versus New Day. It was a pretty good match overall. I don't think New Day should have been the team where Bludgeon Brothers looked weak to. I think it should have been either Usos or The Bar. But, you know, it was a New Day, so it wasn't a bad match. I don't agree with the finish. I think Bludgeon Brothers should have just kind of like steamrolled through them. We did learn that Rowan is now injured, so it's a bit of a shame. Apparently happened at SummerSlam. And supposedly that's why the New Day won the tag titles. So, I don't know. I don't really have too many opinions on this match. Hopefully Rowan gets better. And I'm not sure what they're going to do with Harper. I don't know if they're going to have him do some singles competition. I kind of hope that's what they do. But they might just do the route of not having Harper compete until Rowan is recovered. So, I might just hold on for one moment. Okay, I just had to get a drink there. So, the triple threat for the SmackDown Women's title. Oh man, this match. It was a good match. It was one of those matches where it was good, but you could tell it's choreographed. You know, for a lot of the match, you could tell it was choreographed. So it did ruin it a little bit, but still, overall, it was pretty good. Anyway, so what was I going to say? Oh, you know, the story in this match, great. Yeah, Carmella be that catalyst for Becky Lynch and Charlotte just like exploding with her friendship. It was great. Of course, at the end, Charlotte won the match, by the way. You know, she pinned Becky to do it. And yay, another Charlotte title reign. The funny thing is, after, I can't remember when it's like two episodes ago on the podcast, where basically just went on a huge rant on Charlotte. How she's basically the women's Roman Reigns, you know, that sort of thing. So, and there, she won again, and the crowd just booed the crap out of her. The whole arena was just boo, you know, because it was another Charlotte title reign. And then Becky Lynch, you know, they had the whole hug it out moment, booed even harder or louder, whichever one you want to say, more boos. And then Becky with the turn, the crowd, oh my goodness, the crowd. Becky Lynch got the cheer of her career. You know, make that hashtag cheer of her career. Anyway, so yeah, Becky, after the whole hug it out thing, she turned on Charlotte. It was absolutely great. The crowd was loving it, you know. And then the icing on the cake, as Becky Lynch was walking up the ramp there back to go backstage, the crowd was chanting, "You deserve it." I'm clapping, by the way. "You deserve it." I don't know if you could hear the clap or the pat on my leg. It still works, but I don't know if they were chanting, like, you know, Charlotte deserves the beatdown, or Becky deserves the title, or both. And either way, it was great. It was great. One of the highlights of SummerSlam for me. And I'm sure I'm not the only person. I'm sure for some people it's the highlight. There was one moment I enjoyed better, which I'll get to in a bit. So, Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens. Boy, do I hate this match. You know, I have no problem with Strowman just squashing somebody, you know, because, you know, Strowman, that's his character. You know, fine, he's the big monster. You know, it's kind of like the Bludgeon Brothers, you know. But it had to be the KO. Like, in this scenario, it was the KO, which he shouldn't have been a guy that was absolutely buried. Absolutely squashed. You know, okay, Strowman keeps the briefcase, okay. That's the direction they want to go, fine, alright. I'll still continue to watch it. but, I mean, really? Kevin Owens is one of the best people that they have. He's upper mid-card, if not a main eventer, on Raw right now. Arguably main eventer. One of the top guys on Raw. And you have him get buried. You have him get squashed by Strowman. And the funny thing is, Owens is more, turning more and more into a face. I mean, what did he do to Strowman to get that? I mean, he tried to be his friend. That didn't work out. You know? I mean, in the past, you know, Owens absolute heel, you know, and it was great. But in recent times, you know, I was just watching a video on it, and it is becoming more and more of a thing now. Owens is not a heel. He's not one of the top heels. He's one of the top faces in WWE. I mean, what did he do to Strowman? You know, he tried to be his friend. That didn't work out. So, to try to keep him from grabbing the briefcase, he, like, teamed up with the other people to take him out of the match. Or to try to take him out of the match. It didn't work. Strowman got even more mad at Owens, which he shouldn't have really gotten mad in the first place. You know? And then he had Strowman just absolutely humiliate KO. You know? Oh, then there was his, the whole thing with Shane. Shane was the one getting cheered, but Owens was the face in that storyline. He was the one getting screwed. He beat up Vince, you know, and that was completely justified. You know, Vince was one of the guys that Owens was going to sue, or kayfabe storyline, whatever, sue, you know, after Shane beat him up. You know, in any other business, that would have not happened. I know, I butchered that sentence. But anywhere else, like outside of wrestling, that wouldn't have happened. And whoever did that, like if the boss did that, he would most definitely be getting sued. I mean, he could have been saved by the boss. But, you know, I mean, when Vince, you know, said, you know, we're going to lawyer up if you do that. But, and he got cheered. But Owens was the one that was getting screwed. And he had every right to sue for that. Because he had his boss beat him up. You know, it's just crazy what they're doing with Owens right now. You know, I think Owens is going to be, is going to go down in history as a CM Punk or as a Stone Cold. I think Owens is a bit more like Punk than he is Stone Cold, but he's going, this is my prediction, that he's going to go down as one of those guys. You know, more, I would say more of an anti-hero, because he still does heel-ish things, but his reasonings are really justified. But I think he's a bit more like CM Punk, because, like, sorry about this, I'm kind of butchering things up. CM Punk's, like, early part of his WWE career, in his memorable moments, aka his feud with Jeff Hardy, turned into his feud with The Undertaker, you know, he was the heel. He was a heel, and, same thing with Owens. In his early parts of his career, in WWE, he was a heel, you know? Then again, he was a heel in the indies. On the indie as well. Man, I'm messing up a lot, and I'm not even that tired. Anyway, so, yeah. Strowman really shouldn't, that should not have been a squash match. And, I don't know. Hopefully things get better for KO. Hopefully. Anyway, on to the next match. Let's see. WWE title match, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. I would say my favorite match of the night. Absolutely great. And the ending was great. I know DQ finish isn't really a popular finish, but for that story, it was the right finish. it was absolutely great. And the ending, like, when Samoa Joe threw AJ into the steel steps, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this exactly, when Samoa Joe got on the mic and said to Wendy, as she was holding AJ's daughter, he said, I made you a promise. Your dad's coming home. Like, daddy's coming home tonight. He's not coming home. I'll be your new daddy. And the crowd just went, oh! You know, it was one of those moments. It was absolutely great. Absolutely incredible storyline. Turned up the heat on that rivalry. And I cannot wait for the Hell in a Cell match. I mean, the match at Hell in a Cell. I'm not sure if it's going to be a cell match or not. Supposedly it is. I know the match got announced, but I didn't see if it was a Hell in a Cell match or not. Well, let's find out here. But anyway. So then after that, AJ just lost it. Beat him down with the chair. Pulling through the barricade. Absolutely great. Absolutely great. Then they had, it just says it's going to be at the pay-per-view. So, anyway. Then he had AJ's daughter saying, no, stop, you know. Because just getting too brutal, you know. Absolutely great. Absolutely great. Then they're saying on SmackDown, I'll talk about that in a little bit. It's just, it's a great story so far. I would say probably the best story that they have going right now, other than Miz and Daniel Bryan, but it's just going in a bad direction right now. And yeah, I'll get to that when I talk about SmackDown. So, let's see. I'm trying to think what came next. Miz, Daniel Bryan. It was a bit of a lackluster match for me. It had its moments. I agree with the ending. You know, Miz using the brass knuckles to win. It is ironic that Daniel Bryan, like, he waited that long to punch Miz in the face, and Miz won by punching Daniel Bryan in the face. I mean, that is pretty ironic, you know. And it is one of those moments that pretty cool. Not pretty cool, like pretty good. I'm sorry, I said pretty cool. I don't know why I'm apologizing for that. anyway. So, yeah, good moment. Wasn't bad, you know. But, again, it was, I think everybody just had so high of an expectation for the match. But this definitely won't be the last match for those two. Definitely won't be. Like, one-on-one, at least, I should say. And, so, on to my favorite moment of the night. Came with Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin. The Demon returned. I really do enjoy seeing the Demon. I don't care who it's against. I really don't care about the story going into the match. You know, I get excited when I see the Demon. You know, I'm one of those people where, like, I don't really care who it's against. You know, get to see him. It was great. You know, I do like that, for each event, he changes it up. Changes up his look. I do enjoy that. So, yeah. It was a squash match. Absolutely agree with that decision. Corbin should have lost in a squash. Demon or not, he should have lost in a squash match. Absolutely agree with that decision. So, then, Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura. It wasn't a bad match. I'd say above average. Jeff Hardy, how is he still alive? I mean, that spot. Oh my goodness, that spot. That could have gone so wrong for Jeff. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Jeff Hardy, Shinsuke Nakamura was on the apron because he rolled out of the way because Jeff was about to do the Swanton. Rich is like, well, screw doing it in the ring. He gets up onto that LED post, does the Swanton to Nakamura on the apron, but Nakamura got out of the way. Man, did that look bad. I cringed a little when I saw that, and not like because that spot was bad, but because I was, oh man, that looked like it really hurt. He didn't land good. It was hard to watch. Like that moment, it was pretty hard to watch. But yeah, then Nakamura got Jeff back in the ring, hit the Kinshasa, won the match. But jeez, oh man, Jeff Hardy. Just wow. That's all I can say about that. Just wow. So, yeah, Ronda Rousey, Alexa Bliss. Pretty good match. Again, on the shorter end, I'd say another squash match. Definitely agree with that. You know, Ronda Rousey. I know some people will have a problem with her. But she is a legitimate fighter, you know. I mean, how long was she a women's champ over there? It was like forever she was a women's champion. She was beating people fairly quickly. So, I mean, if she's like running through the roster, like, oh, they're just building her up like a John Cena or a Roman Reigns or a Charlotte. But in this case, it's really different because she's like legitimately beating people very quickly in an actual fight, you know. So with that, it is very, very justified, you know. And I hope she has a good title reign. So far, she's been pretty enjoyable. You know, character has been pretty good. Matches have been good. I think she could use an improvement on her character, but match-wise, pretty good. Or, I was about to say pretty great, but I stuck with good because I think it is a little bit early to say great right now. I don't like how the Bellas were there. There was no point of them being there. And the fact that they said, this really made me mad. They said that they were at the forefront of the women's revolution. They were the freaking cause of the revolution. That was the boiling point. Like, when you look at the timeline of the Divas era, you know, with the Bellas, Maurice, you know. The Bellas were the boiling point. That's when they brought in Charlotte, Becky Lynch, you know. Paige couldn't get the job done because Brie was always helping out Nikki. You know, then they also brought in Sasha Banks. But yeah, for them to say, you know, they were at the forefront, they were the freaking cause. That really got me mad. They were the cause of this women's revolution. You know, so far, the women's revolution has been pretty great. You know, I had disagreed with some of their decisions. Like the 30 women rumble, I think they should have done 20 because then, because 20, it isn't as a stretch. They didn't have to have so many NXT people or legends in there. They could really showcase the roster a little bit more with 20, but I get why they did 30, so it's even with the men, but the men do have a bigger roster, so
But yeah, then you had the Bella celebrate with Ronda Rousey. There was no point for that. There wasn't a point. Okay, and Natalia celebrating, you know, she's good friends with Rousey, you know, on screen. I'm not sure about behind the scenes. From what I've read, you know, Natalia's a generally well-respected member of the roster, you know, mentor to a lot of the women's division. Supposedly, that's the reason why Charlotte, Carmella, I didn't see any pink on Becky Lynch's attire, but apparently there was some. That was support for Natalia. Of course, she recently lost her father, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Very sad about that passing. Like, generally, the wrestling community. He was great with Bret Hart. Part of the Hart Foundation. One of the best teams of their time, you know. Then you had the Revival do the Heart Attack. I think if they're going to win the match, I think they should have won with the Heart Attack. You know, of course they didn't win the match, so. So, anyway, but yeah, apparently that's why in the Triple Threat they wore pink was for a support of Natalia. But anyway, so yeah, Natalia, of course she wore her father's jacket as well at SummerSlam. But yeah, Ernst celebrating with Rousey, you know, they're good friends. Yeah, but the freaking Bellas, they should be gone right now, but they just brought them back because, hey, ratings and money. It's just ridiculous. It really is. Because you have the women's revolution with wrestlers instead of, kind of hate to say this, but instead of like eye candy, you know, that sort of thing. And I mean, you're bringing back the Bellas. Just really frustrating, irritating, angering, whichever one you want to use. I'm feeling them all right now with the Bellas coming back because when I think of the Divas era, I instantly think that the Bellas, they were basically the poster child for that era, in my opinion. I'm sure there's somebody else, but and then you have them bring them back, and for them to say, I'm not sure, it might have been scripted, but still, they still said it, that they were the forefront of the evolution. It really, really makes me mad. You know. Anyway, probably should move on. I don't think I'm forgetting any matches. Before I talk about the main event. No, I don't think I am. And we got Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. I did. Oh man, I enjoyed this. You know, I don't like how Brock Lesnar, at the start of the match, Reigns hit the Superman punches. Okay, Brock getting back up from that. Fine. But with the spears, and I'm pretty sure I've said this before, but Brock getting back up after a spear, like no-selling it basically, is pretty ridiculous. Because you have other people, you know, pretty much just jobbing out to one spear. They have Lesnar getting right back up after a spear. You know. You know, it makes Roman look weak, and it makes the rest of the roster look incredibly weak. You know, for anybody who stays down after one spear, you know, and you have Brock getting up after one spear, It just makes all those people look incredibly weak. I mean, it looks Roman look a little bit weak. But then you have everybody that he's beaten with just one. So. But, anyway. So, then Strowman came out. That was great. And then Brock Lesnar absolutely beating the crap out of Strowman. I loved that so much. I know this isn't. This probably isn't what happened. But I like to think of it as Brock getting revenge for Owens. You know? Like, Strowman absolutely decimated Owens. I'm still a little bit mad about that. Not as mad as the freaking Bellas. But I still. Still a little bit mad about the squash match with Owens. Then you have Brock beat the living crap out of Strowman, the steel chair, and throwing the briefcase. That was absolutely great. Then you had Brock get back in the ring with the steel chair. Roman with the spear. Okay. You know, wasn't bad. Yeah, I'm just glad to see the title get defended a little bit more. So, I mean, I'm not against them having, like, him take a pay-per-view off or two, but, I mean, for that to be his only title defense of the summer, I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. So, yeah. Anyway, overall, SummerSlam, great show. I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than Brooklyn. Again, TakeOver Brooklyn. It's a close tie for me. Not a close tie. But I think I enjoyed the storytelling more on SummerSlam than I did Brooklyn. But I enjoyed some of the matches more on TakeOver. So it's a bit of a toss-up which one. Yeah, like the in-ring work I did enjoy more. Oh, for the most part more on Brooklyn. But the storytelling for SummerSlam, which is absolutely incredible. Which is, I'm just surprised to hear myself say that. I mean, he had Becky. He had AJ. You know, trying to think here. I think they made more right decisions on SummerSlam than they did for Brooklyn, you know? Actually, no, I take that back about the storytelling. Storytelling was good, but they did more storytelling than they did on Brooklyn. Brooklyn was more. But the in-ring work, SummerSlam was more about the storylines, you know, and I do like to see storylines showcased a little bit more, so I think that's why I prefer SummerSlam. That's just me, though. There might be somebody else, but anyway, on to the Raw afterwards. Wasn't really any call-ups. I don't really remember too much, other than the main event and the ending. Let's see, trying to think. Okay, had Triple H come out, further his storyline with Undertaker. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. He had Ambrose versus Ziggler. Pretty sure Ambrose won. Okay, continuing that storyline. Then there was the whole Raw Women's Championship coronation sort of thing. I'm a bit frustrated with this. Because they were building up, like, Rousey's going to get a custom championship. And this is partially my own fault, but it's also the way it was worded. You know? They just meant the custom plates, which, okay, they weren't really wrong about that. But I was thinking a new title design, because they said tonight Ronda Rousey's going to get the new Raw Women's Championship, like, design. So I was thinking, oh, they're going to do a whole new belt. So I'm curious to see, okay, what's the belt going to look like? Then to find out that they just changed the plates, I'm just like, really? I mean, really? Just, again, partially my own fault, but still. Okay, then there was Revival versus B Team, one-on-one action. You know, one member faced the other, then the other two faced, faced off. Okay, for there's the storyline, just waiting for the Revival winning the titles at this point. Then the main event, which is set up early in the match. Oh, before I get to that, Baron Corbin, new GM. I'm interested. I'm very curious to see where they go and if Angle returns as the Raw GM, or if they're gonna have somebody replace Corbin. I'm very curious to see where they go with that. So, anyway, on to the main event. Roman Reigns, Finn Balor, Universal title. All for that match. I like how Braun came out, but I don't like how Reigns won. And not because, oh, Roman Reigns, you know, the corporate guy. That's not the problem I have. The problem I have is Braun came out, Balor with the shotgun dropkick, went up for the coup de grace. Then he should have hit the coup de grace, won the title off the Braun distraction. What they should have done. But Reigns got out of the way of the coup de grace, hit the spear, 1, 2, 3. Shield came out, did the powerbomb, okay. You know, I don't really have too much of a problem of Shield doing the power. What they should have done is have Braun come out after the match, then do the whole Shield thing. What they should have done, but they didn't. And that's why I'm a bit irritated with the main event and the final segment. So, anyway, on to SmackDown. Oh, sorry. Let's see. The opening segment. I enjoyed the first part, but I hated the ending of the first segment. I really did. I really did. Alright, so the first part, he had Miz get all emotional. He came out with Maryse. Great. He's a, like, you know, I have a family now. I was like, oh no, this is it. This is it. This is the way he goes out. And the way that he did it was absolutely great. Miz really showing off his acting talent there. He was crying, you know. He's like, I officially announced my retirement. He was stopped. Yeah, because he was choking up. And the crowd was just going, yes, yes, finally. You know, but for me, fan of heels, a fan of good heels, actually, I should say. Ciampa, Miz. I don't know too much about Cody Rhodes anymore. SummerSlam, or not SummerSlam, WrestleMania weekend, I would have said Cody Rhodes, but now I'm not so sure about that one. But yeah, I'm a fan of good heels. And Miz is a good heel, so I'm a fan. So I was just like, oh no, dang it. You should have felt the title. And these are the thoughts I was thinking. Like, you can't hold the title. Yeah, he's like, I have a family. And, you know, choking up. He's like, I officially announced they had to stop because I had to look to Maurice, and she's like, you can do it. That was my impression of her French accent, which was bloody awful. Like, yeah, stay strong, that sort of thing. Then Miz goes, I officially announce my retirement, and just yes chance galore there. And then pauses, looks around, it was from ever facing Daniel Bryan again. And I was like, yes. And it's like, the crowd, boo. Absolutely great. Absolutely great. Yeah, I love that part. But then, little Goatface had to come out with his wife, Brie. And I know, this is just me kind of taking out my frustration with the segment, because they're just doing what they did for WrestleMania 33, just with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. It's the same freaking thing. The mixed tag match at pay-per-view. Just Miz and Maurice facing different opponents. Still with the Bellas. And still really annoyed with the Bellas. It's just... Okay, if they had Daniel Bryan and Miz, both Maurice and Brie, as the managers, then it would be different. It would be different, you know? And, yeah, they'd still have the singles match. It's still... Yeah, it could still be good. But the mixed tag match... Oh, boy. And for this to be the first match announced for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Oh, just... You know, I'm going to get really ticked if I continue to talk about this segment, so I'm going to move on. Let's see. Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy continuing their feud. I enjoyed it. I thought the match was good. I liked the finish. The match with the DQ so then Jeff could just go wild, do whatever he wanted. Yeah, I thought it was good. You know, I'm curious to see where they go with it. I'm not sure if this is it. I don't think this is it. But I'm kind of curious to see where they go with it. Had the whole promo with Nakamura. I'm just going through the stuff that I remember. But Nakamura kind of like saying, I'm the champ sort of thing. Okay, move on. R-Truth and Carmella. What are they doing with that segment? I mean, why is that even a storyline? And how does R-Truth think he deserves a title match? Just absolutely nuts. And then, let's see. Oh, yeah, AJ and Joe. That segment. Highlight of the night. I love the meme that they made out of that. It was great. The meme, if you haven't seen it yet, absolutely hilarious. Owen Joe goes, oh, Wendy! You know, I didn't really do it to the full extent that Joe did, but nonetheless, somebody photoshopped Samoa Joe doing that in the car and at Wendy's drive thru. I laughed my head off seeing that. Oh man. But yeah, in that context, absolutely great. Joe, a great heel. Good on the mic. The segment did what I needed to do. And man, I'm really looking forward to the Hell in a Cell match. Like, the match at Hell in a Cell. Again, I'm not sure. I'm sure it's going to be inside the cell. But I'm just not sure at this point. Because, I mean, I'm sure they will, but again, it's rumored, so. And the way rumors work is if they get it wrong, oh, it was changed last minute. That's basically how they save their skin. And some of their credibility. So. Anyway, NXT, basically a recap. TakeOver wasn't bad. Bianca Belair came back. I'm sure she'll be competing for the title at War Games. If not sooner. I don't think she'll win it just yet from Kairi Sane. I think they're going to keep Kairi Sane as the champ for a little bit longer. That might be the match at Evolution. Possibly. I don't know. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I remember it was a good show, but I mean, that's about it from what I remember, to be honest with you. No, that's not it. UK title match, Pete Dunne versus Zach Gibson. Yeah, Pete Dunne retaining, okay. But at this point, I just want to see him drop the belt to somebody. I think he's held onto the belt for long enough. And I just want to see somebody new as champ at this point. I really do. So. Anyway, that's it for the wrestling. On to the comics. A few more news articles than normal. So, I hope you enjoy it. Okay, on to the comics part. There's a little bit more than normal, as I mentioned in the wrestling portion. So, just get on with it. So, apparently, some people that Reddit were doing a kill count for everybody in the MCU. Of course, Thanos was overall number one in overall, or not overall, a number one for the villains as well. But on the hero side of things, Pepper Potts is the leading person with two kills. Two kills. And she's more of a side character, if that makes sense. Iron Man's franchise, of course, Iron Man, the main person, but then Pepper is like the set, or like the sub-main actor, actress in this, talking about the scenario. But yeah. She's tied, apparently, with Killmonger. That's just something. It's one of those things where you won't expect it. And if you have that sense of humor, it's laughable. Almost. I mean, not like laughable that, like, oh, a woman got two kills. Like, laughable that she's the one. You know, not one of the main characters in the MCU has killed more people than the top heroes, you know? I mean, that's the part that's laughable. I mean, it's just, yeah, if you have that sense of humor. Anyway, so, what's the next bit? There was something, can't remember what it was now. Hold on just a moment. Okay. Oh, there was something I was going to start doing. I'll do it after the news bit. I was going to do, like, comics trivia. So. Oh, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 has been put on suspension. Because they had to take the, I'm pretty sure they had to fire the director. I forget for what, something they said. So, yeah, that was the other thing.
Then on the DC side of things, let's see here. Oh, yeah. The Joker and Daffy Duck are going to do a crossover comic. So there's that. Bit weird. They're doing that. Flash Season 5 going to be coming up. So Tom Taylor wrote a farewell to the Injustice comic that DC's been doing. Let's see. Alright, so basically the final issue for the Injustice comic line for now, unless they release an Injustice 3, I'm sure they'll pick it back up, but for now, that's it. For fans of the comic series, I was a fan of the first year or two of the first game comic line. I was a fan of that, but year three, whichever year they started doing all the magic, I kind of just lost interest in it a little bit. But yeah, anyway, the comic series is now over. Again, unless they release Injustice 3, I'm sure they'll pick it back up. But for now, it is over. So, then Russ Heath is an artist for Marvel and DC. He's unfortunately, passed away at the age of 91, so a bit sad news this week. Had Injustice end, and Russ Heath has passed away. So, anyway, as I said, I was trying to re-find some of the things. I'm going to be doing a bit of comics trivia, like, question. Hold on. So, I'm gonna basically, I'm trying to think. I might do it with the wrestling, but I think there's just so much content in there. I'm just going to do this to add a little bit more content into the comic section. So, to start this week, okay, basically, I'm just going to ask a question, then I'll give you guys some time to answer. I'm just trying to... here's a fun fact. This is just in the comics. Never mind. It'll be too hard. I was gonna do the max height Superman has lifted, but I don't think anybody would. I don't think too many people would get it. If you wanna know the max height that, Superman has ever lifted was 30 quadrillion tons. So, So, let's see here. I'm trying to find something here. I know I should have come prepared, and I do apologize for that. I tried looking up comic book fun facts, but nothing really came up. So, and so far all of these are just memes. I'm gonna get back to the fun facts. Let's see. Okay, so. Okay, so this is going to be kind of a hard question. Start things off, and I'll give you guys about 30 seconds. So, the Joker has admitted he hates Dick Grayson, aka the first Robin. But, for what reason? So, I'll give you guys some time to think about it. Okay, gave you guys about 30 seconds. So, if you guessed it, cool. About to reveal the answer. And the answer is, the reason why the Joker hates Dick Grayson, aka the first Robin, is because he's the only Robin that he's never been able to traumatize. So there you go, there's your comics trivia for this episode. Try to be prepared, a little bit more prepared next episode, and have it ready. But if you guessed it, cool, good job. If not, you can try again next episode. So yeah, that's it for the comics section. Hope you enjoyed it. So, yeah. Okay, I'm wrapping things up. Hope you enjoyed it. I know I've really been doing a lot of advertising recently. Actually, instead of doing it on the YouTube channel, I've actually decided to put it over on the podcast. That'd be a little bit more fitting for the wrap-up section. So, anyway. If you're looking for a place to work out, live in, Centre County, PA. Check out Elite Edge Athletics, or on Benner Pike. I can't give you the exact address, but it's a great place to work out. Very friendly people, work out there. Nice couple runs the place, and you get a good workout too. Overall, it's a great place to work out. So, they have two different programs. They have personal training, and they also have, I'm not sure if other gyms do this or not. They have a program called Surge. Great workout. Mixes in. He has workouts designed for different days. So, like, Monday and Tuesday is mainly cardio. Wednesdays and Thursdays is a mainly core strengthening. Then Friday and Saturday is leg day. Pretty much everybody's least favorite day. So, yeah. And for pretty much every month, he has a new workout designed. So, yeah. Get a workout again.
So, look them up. Pretty sure he's on Facebook. I know they have their own app. If you look up Elite Edge on the... I know Apple iStore, I'm not sure about Android. See, if you look them up on there, you can download the app if you're going to join search. So, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Appreciate you guys listening. And I'll see you next time.